Good day, everybody. This is Tom Kane, Vice President of Business Development for 21st Century Energy Solutions. We've received a number of calls and emails asking for some additional clarification on a few items from our podcast of about 2 weeks ago. So we thought a short follow-up podcast might be helpful at this point. I want to start with reviewing porosity and permeability. So the porosity is a measurement of how porous the foundation, the stone in the foundation is, whether it's shale or limestone. The oil underground is found in the pores of rocks. So what's the porosity? Is it high or is it low? So shale would be a low porosity because it's a more dense rock. Permeability is the measurement of the ability of the oil to move through the pores towards your wellbore. And there are a lot of factors that come into that, but permeability is a measurement of that flow, of the ability of the oil to flow. So with those two things in mind, in primary or initial oil recovery, the underground pressure is typically high enough to push the oil towards the well for extraction. Now, as you take oil out of the formation over time, this pressure will drop. And when that happens, enhanced oil recovery methods are utilized. Enhanced oil recovery, or EOR, basically means that various man-made components, compounds, or technologies are introduced to help move or stimulate the movement of the oil so you can extract it. People have been asking about how our fluids, a little bit more clarity on how our fluids actually play a role here. So first I want to talk about hydrogen sulfide. This is a chemical compound that's frequently found in oil formations, and it's caused by bacteria, typically. This is a big problem in the oil and gas recovery because H2S is highly corrosive to the equipment in the field. It's extremely flammable, and oh, by the way, it's deadly. It's that gas that has that rotten egg smell. If you've smelled it before, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So we use hydrolite downhole to treat this problem. We put hydrolite down the well, and it kills the bacteria that's causing the H2S, just like we use hydrolite in a hospital to kill infections to help prevent against hospital-acquired infections. We're killing a pathogen, so hydrolite works beautifully downhole to kill the bacteria. It's very effective against H2S. So let's turn to surfactants. What is a surfactant? A surfactant is a surface active agent. Basically, it reduces the surface tension. For example, the late night, Dawn dishwashing commercial, it separates the grease from your pan. Well, in oil recovery, there's some of that oil is sort of bound to the formation, and so by injecting a surfactant, it unbinds it. It helps free the oil to move, so it increases the permeability. So dishwashing soap is a surfactant, and catholate is a surfactant. And so if we're looking to stimulate additional production, then we go with catholate. If we're treating a hydrogen sulfide problem, then we use analyte or hydrolite. So now let's talk about sort of how we work with new customers. And I'm going to keep this brief, but it's pretty straightforward, except for the detail, which we're going to leave out for now. But we get a new customer. We go through a process of profiling the formation and the wells that we're talking about. We need to know, the type of formation, how deep are the wells, the porosity, permeability. There's a lot of different measurements in geology type information that we need. So when we get all that profile information, then we calculate what's needed for the treatment to address the problems or issues that this particular producer wants to address. We agree on that treatment plan, and then we implement it. And when the treatment is finished, then we get paid. So that's pretty straightforward. We're either going to take hydrolite out or catholite, do the treatment, and we get paid. Which leads to people going, well, I'm still confused on how you actually generate revenue. Where does your money come from? So we get paid to do a job. So in a sense, we're an extension of an oil field servicing company. Our revenue comes in from leasing equipment out in the field, just like we do in hospitals. We've got five machines down in West Texas, and we're collecting lease payments on those. And then when jobs are done, we also get a percentage off of the fluids that were used. Okay, so we generate revenue from lease agreements and from the use of the fluids. We get an override, a percentage on those. We do not, if we're doing an enhancement, a stimulation project, and you know we've talked about the Murray County, Oklahoma, went from 5 barrels a day to 30 barrels a day. And people have asked, well, do you get a percentage of that 25 barrel incremental increase? And the answer is no. We get paid to do a job, and that payment comes from the two items that I just mentioned. And I don't see us in the foreseeable future anyway of getting revenue based on incremental oil production. If that changes at some point in the future, we'll certainly let you know. I do want to mention that these podcasts and other resources can be found on our main website at pcl.com/podcasts. And if you haven't visited yet, I would encourage you to visit the 21st Century Energy dedicated website, and that is 21st-century-energy. Century Energy is one word. So 21st-century-energy.com. And specifically, I mean, the whole website has a lot of good information, but we have a Q&A section, and in our newsroom section, you'll find a lot of information as well as a reposting of these various podcasts. So I hope this has been helpful and that you've gained a better understanding of how we do business in the oil and gas industry. Please feel free to continue to reach out to us. We have a tremendous runway of opportunity in front of us. Oil and gas truly, really is taking off quickly, and we are excited about the prospects, and we will continue to share updates with you as they become available. Thank you all very much. Have a good day.